So good evening, everyone. happy Sabbath to everybody. I know we've heard all the pleasantries already. And I know there'll be time for us to chat and greet each other at the end as well. I want to welcome you all to our Friday night worship. It is a regular feature for us now. And to the penultimate week, looking at this theme of what's the point. As usual, I'm not going to take the spotlight from the presenter for this evening. I don't know what direction that she's going to take it in, but I know it's going to be spirit-led and we will be blessed. I will ask that we keep our mics muted because it can be distracting if we hear background noise, and it will bring up your camera as well as the active speaker. So if we can keep our mics muted unless we're answering a question, that would be great. Our speaker for this evening, homegrown, very own Latiqua. She's gone way out into the countryside somewhere near the sea, near Southend. So we don't get to see her as often as we'd like. But we're so glad that she can make time in her schedule to come and share a word with us this evening on that theme, what's the point? So Latiqua, before I hand it over to you, I'm just going to invite us to bow our heads for a word of prayer as we open up our Friday night worship.
Amen.
Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for bringing us together for another Friday night worship session. Lord, there are so many people who didn't see it through this week and are not able to fellowship with us any longer. So we are just grateful for that small mercy of life that we take for granted every day. We pray, Father, that as we are about to spend some time in your word, that your Holy Spirit will come and dwell with us now, that you will empower Latiqua and speak and just inspire her, speak directly through her, that we will receive a word of encouragement that will be applicable to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Latiqua, the floor is yours.
Amen. Thank you so much, Asha. Again, happy Sabbath, everyone. Good evening to you all. I was grateful for the prayer, Asha, because empowerment is what I need. I'm very tired. I've had an extremely long week, so I'm extremely tired. But God is good. And we're going to have a good time this evening, hopefully. Okay. So as Asha said, we're looking at continuing with the theme, what's the point? And when Asha told me what the theme was, I was just smiling because... it's so relevant to my life right now, and I'm so happy to be speaking out of my experience. It just makes it more that personal, makes it more that real. So yes, let's get cracking. So I don't know if you've shared this already, Asha, because I haven't been in any of the other sessions about our conversation that we had. Did you share it already?
Oh, no, that's fine. You can share it. That's okay.
Okay, so I don't even know when it was, but Asha and I had a conversation. It was a very unintentional conversation, but I'm so glad that we had it. And we were just basically just sharing about our lives and how life isn't as cheery and happy as it used to be. And, you know, we're experiencing some dark days and some sentiments and moods that we haven't really, we're not used to feeling with the lockdown and just the way the world is going. We just never thought we would find ourselves in such a state, you know, low moods and just asking what's the point. So as I said before, I'm so glad that we're discussing this because it's extremely relevant. So it's only recently, as in since lockdown, to be fair, lockdown one, that, you know, in Ecclesiastes where Solomon says life is meaningless, he repeats it several times in the whole book. It's only now I'm starting to kind of understand the sentiments behind, you know, what he was feeling. And today I want to encourage you all via the Holy Spirit, because I don't have much encouragement to give because I'm going through it myself, but I want to give you some encouragement today so that we can press on just a little bit longer, press on a little bit harder, because we're soon going home. So if we can turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 25 verses 29 to 34. So it's Genesis chapter 25 verses 29 to 34. Okay, and I'll read in your hearing, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now I know this is a story that will be familiar to most of us, a story that we've heard over and over again. But I just wanted to take a slightly different angle today, and we're just going to break down the text. Just want to know if anyone has any questions, any comments, any feedback, please. It's a very interactive session. Just raise your hand on the Zoom or something and we'll get your attention. Okay. So let's take it verse by verse, starting from verse 29. Now Jacob cooked his stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. So the text is telling us that Esau was weary. He was tired. Yeah. So in terms of when I was reading this scripture, and I guess getting some insight in my prayer time this week, I was just thinking about how can I encourage people, especially in my own situation, how can I encourage us? Just to give some background why this text was chosen. And just to, you know, sum up a bit, it's just, I want us to focus on not selling our birthrights. I want us to focus on not giving up the good things and the main things for things that are temporary and don't last. Okay, so back to verse 29. Esau was weary. Sometimes our life situations, they make us weary, right? Sometimes, like my stressful week at work makes me weary. Lockdown makes us weary. Financial issues, they make us weary. Different life circumstances make us weary. And we're not going to lose focus when we're energetic, you know, when we're happy, when life is going great. In those times, we don't tend to lose our focus. But when we're weary, when we're tired, when we're concerned, when we're stressed, these are the times when our focus starts to shift. These are the times when our goalposts starts to move. We start to forget what we're doing and why we're doing the things that we're doing. Because we're tired, because we're weary, because the circumstances they're weighing us down. And when we've prayed, sometimes when we pray and there's no answer, and when our situations look bleak and like there's no hope in sight, these are the times when we're down and we lose our focus. But let's see, as we read later on in the text, what happens sometimes when we're weary. Okay, so let's go to verse 31. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." So I know many of us may know, but just in case anybody doesn't know, in Jewish custom, the firstborn son was given a birthright. And this essentially was just a blessing upon the son and his family and the future generations to come. This was just a blessing that was given to them. And it was a big deal. It was a big thing in Jewish custom. So the fact that, you know, Jacob asked for the birthright and Esau easily gave him the birthright is a big deal. It's key to note that the birthright was not earned at all. It was gifted. It was simply gifted for being the firstborn, and you get all the blessings and your generations would get the blessings just from being a son, from being gifted. And we can liken this to us, you know. We are given a birthright, you could say. We're given the birthright of salvation. We're given the birthright of eternal life and being an heir to God's throne. And of course, this birthright, this gift was not earned. There is nothing that we've done for it. We were freely given by the grace of God because he loves us. And I know in our traditional backgrounds, Caribbean backgrounds especially, if somebody gives you something, gifts you with something, and you give it away, that's seen as a disrespect. You know, even if you don't want it, you can't just give it away. Why? Because someone gifted it to you. I know we've got like plenty ornaments in our house simply because my mum, it's because it's a gift essentially. And so the fact that Esau had this gift, he had this birthright, and he just so easily gave it away is a cause for concern. And so I want us to think about, you know, as spiritual Israel, I want us to think about, you know, the fact that there may be some things in our lives that are distracting us. There may be some things in our lives that we are selling our birthright for, if that makes sense. And I even want to actually pose the question out. What are some examples of things that we can sell our birthright for, our salvation, our relationship with God? What are some things that we compromise that relationship with God for in exchange for something that's not as valuable as our birthright, our salvation? Does the question make sense?
Yeah, we sell our souls for money, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We sell out our souls. We sell our children. You know, maybe not now, but it has been in the past. We'll sell, we'll do anything. Well, mm-hmm. I say we, human beings will do anything for money. Has it been the root of all evil? Just things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can compromise ourselves in our relationships and our friendship circles as well. Which on the surface, they don't look like a negative thing. You know, it's easy to point the finger at, you know, the big things like, you know, money and careers and stuff, but even things that might look good on the outside, even just the importance of our families or compromise mm-hmm. of our children, these can all, if done incorrectly, cause us to miss out on that yeah. right that you're speaking about.
Thank you so much. Asha and Sister Dawn.
Oh, I'll let Howard go because
I just want to say comfort. It sometimes seems so simple, but just to have our way of life stay as it is, we will compromise. We don't want to change. This look too steep. You know something? Just don't bother say I'm a Christian. Just don't bother put God up front here. So let me just slide through because nobody will know. And that is one of our biggest downfalls where we want to have it so comfortable that we're not willing to make any change because the change is going to cost me to say something or for people to know things about me that I don't want them to know, for me to have to give up certain things. And I don't want to give it up because I'm comfortable. My comfort is already here. I don't want to change. But that is the easiest way we sell out our birthright, just to remain comfortable. What a wonderful better word.
Thank you. That's a really good one.
I was going to make a slightly different point.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that when we are about to do something that goes against God, he always has that voice to tell you at that point that you're about to make a mistake, and it's down to us to listen. Because even though Esau said to Jacob, "I'm about to die of hunger," or tiredness, you could see that Jacob still couldn't believe that he was about to make that decision, that he went back to him again to actually say, "Swear to me that you're actually gonna give it to me." And it's at that point when you're about to do something and you hear that voice or that questioning, is to pause and really think about what it is you're about to do.
Thank you so much for that point. There's always the Holy Spirit talking to us just before we make the wrong decision. Yeah.
I just want us to take note, though, that in those days, the birthright wasn't just given to them by a family. No. God had a contract, or a covenant with Abraham when he left.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "I will bless you based on all of these. And as the head, you must bless your sons." your first son will bless his son, and it will go on like that. So it wasn't, we might take our salvation today, oh yeah, we got to church, yeah, it's nothing, but it is really a critical thing. It's even more critical than getting a job. It's more critical than eating, but we don't see it like that, because we don't lose anything if we don't go to church. We don't lose anything if, literally now, if we don't stand up to the principle. We lose it later, you know, when salvation time comes. But we don't feel that pressure now. In those days, when he came in and he said he was hungry, he could have found another way of doing it. But he just said, okay, this is not really, I don't know. It's like you just saying, I am the first daughter, I'm the not the first daughter of my mother. So the others before me do what they want to do, so I can do what I want. So you're not actually looking at you being special.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what he didn't do. He didn't look at the birthright being a special blessing from God through his father. And that was why when it was given to the other one, God, his father couldn't retake it back, because it was only given for the first son, and one only can get it. The rest of the family is blessed by that one person.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we are very fortunate that we are individually blessed.
Thank you. No, it's so true. And we're going to go on to talk about that, the value that was placed on the birthright, why Esau could so easily just offer to give it up. You know, he didn't place the value in the right place. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Let me just check. No? Okay. Thank you all so much for your contributions. Okay, let's go to verse 34. Let's look more in depth at verse 34. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Despised is such a strong word. It's a very strong word. But I believe the Bible is very intentional in using that word. Let's look at another text that complements this one, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. So that's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. Okay. Again, reading from the New King James Version. And it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. So we can see here, you know, Hebrews is a book of memorable mentions, be it positive or negative. And Esau is being recognized as someone who regretted a decision, made a mistake, made a very poor choice. And I just want to just, you know, encourage everyone not to be an Esau, really and truly, you know, not to sell your birthright, your salvation, your heavenly home, you know, the place that God is preparing for you. Don't sell it for something that's small and doesn't compare to the glory that's set before us. You know, Esau didn't know at that time, Esau didn't know that he was going to live to regret it. Esau, he just made a decision because he was looking at his immediate needs, that instant gratification. He was just looking at the now, I'm hungry now. So therefore, I'm going to sell my birthright. He wasn't thinking of the implications of his actions. And just like some of the things that that were mentioned, let's not place the value in those things and forget and lose focus of the bigger picture. You know, as Elder Howard said, the example of a job, you know, our salvation is more important than our earthly jobs. You know, even though it's very important, it's more important. Our salvation as believers and as children of God, our salvation should be our top priority. And so we need to make our decisions and our choices to reflect that that is our priority. So let's not make wrong decisions because we get because we get weary and we get tired, because we get fed up of being faithful. And I think that's what makes the Christian journey so difficult. One of the hardest things about being a believer is staying the course. And I believe this is why throughout the whole of scripture, there are so many texts that encourage you, especially in the New Testament, so many texts that encourage us to keep going, because it's very difficult. It's very difficult to stay faithful. But let's not lose our focus. Let's keep heaven in mind. Let's keep our salvation in mind. There was a phrase that I saw in a Bible commentary that I thought was absolutely genius. It said that Esau is what we call pennywise, but pound foolish. I'm sure many of you have heard that before, but that was my first time and I thought that was absolutely brilliant. Esau was what we call pennywise, but pound foolish. Looking at the small things, placing value to the small things and not what is actually important. Let's not misplace our value of our Christian journey, of our spiritual walk. Moreover, the meal satisfied his need, because hunger is a genuine need. It satisfied his need for that day, for that moment, literally. The reality is, depending on what time of day this took place, he would have had to even eat again. So it only satisfied his need for that exact moment. But yet, that decision, which was supposed to not only bless him, but bless his future generations, he blew that. He despised it, as the Bible say, for a moment of gratification. The value is just, it doesn't balance up. And, you know, it's easy for us to say that what Esau did was ridiculous, reading the Bible story now. But as we've established, there are so many areas in our lives where we do the same thing. I know for myself. Elder Howard?
One thing to say that, though, Esau at that moment, he also felt that it couldn't be transferred that way, because he knew the policy. He knew that the father would have to bless him. And he knew that if the father should compare both of them, the father would know right away that Jacob wasn't Esau. He knew this. So he slighted everything and he despised it, because he says, oh yeah, I'll give it and tomorrow it won't be like that. So even though he was saying yes, he wasn't genuinely saying yes.
He wasn't.
No, because he was just saying yes to get the food. But what he didn't realize is that he wasn't saying yes to his brother. He was saying yes to God's contract. And although he said yes and gave it away, there would have been a consequence for his giving it away for the meal. Even if Jacob didn't trick him, there would have been some kind of consequence with it that way. Because God is God and he says something, this is the order. If you try to trick him and change it, it won't work. Mm-hmm. And there's always a consequence for disobedience to God. However, he's merciful enough to spare him as well as to spare Jacob. Because if you notice, Jacob got all the blessings, you know, even though he was stealing it, he was a jinnah, he was all of this. God protected him all the way to his time. Just like Esau. Esau lived to come and see his brother again. God protected them both. But the power of the blessing was on Jacob when the table was turned, when they become men. It wasn't on Esau.
Yeah.
Because he gave it away.
It's true.
Natika, let me ask you.
Even though
we know the whole story of Jacob and Esau, and we're talking about what we shouldn't give up, having rational thought, got to think about the future. But do you think sometimes it's just that moment, your need is greater than what the future is?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Sometimes that's how we make a decision, even though we know there could be a consequence. But my need at that time, it just took over everything else. And sometimes 100%. That's how we get ourselves into problem.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when I read that story, I agree with what Howard is saying. He probably, because he knew that he was hearing and his brother, so if his dad touched him, blah, 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 you know. But at that time, his immediate need was, I want food.
He's hungry.
I'm not thinking about nothing else. So he made that. His need took over what, because maybe he didn't even think, I want to give up the blessing God's given me or anything. But right now, I'm hungry. The food is here. I want to eat it right now. That's the decision I'm going to make. And I think some of us, I'll talk for myself. I think sometimes we do make decisions based on that current need. And I'm definitely not thinking about what is going to happen, you know, years down the line, so to speak.
Definitely, definitely. Thank you so much. Asha?
I just wanted to add to what Auntie Donna was saying, and it's I wouldn't necessarily say the need at the time, but it's the perception of our need at the time.
Okay, explain, Asha.
It's not, as and trust me, I know, because I know the feeling. I know what you mean. I and you're convinced at that moment that that need, like it, you cannot function without this thing. But it's not actually the case the majority of the time. But our perception of our situation and our need is that this is the most crucial, and if you don't have this, there is no future for me. So it doesn't even matter what the consequences are, because I won't make it through this. But it's not always as deep as we think it is or perceive.
I'm not saying it's deep enough. The man's belly was rumbling. He wanted action there and then.
You know, I don't know if you guys ever done like a workout or you've gone to the gym or something and you forgot your bottle of water, and then you start to get delirious. Your head is spinning, the dehydration is hitting you, and you swear you're going to die. You're at the knee, and in that moment, you would do crazy stuff to get water. But when you stop and think, as much as it feels terrible and you're uncomfortable in that moment, there are still more important things than the water. He was hungry. I get it. He was out for a long time and it weren't no little stroll like now. Serious things. That is, the sun is he was famished. He was parched. Some versions say he was starving. But still, it's the perception of his need. Not necessarily that need in itself was going to kill him. So much so that he should have given up his birthright. We used to have this phrase where you say, being in control of your emotions rather than your emotions being in control of you. And it's like, if we just follow our emotions and perceptions of situations at the time, then we'll likely make poor decisions and react poorly. Whereas if you can acknowledge your emotions but remove it to one side and make informed, objective decisions, then you will normally end up with a better outcome.
And you know the saying there, isn't it? Easier said than done.
Johnny,
hand up. Sister Johnny. I was gonna say that as a recovered foodie, I understand how Esau felt, but there's always that point where, from the fact Jacob asked him that question, something should have clicked with him. I'm under attack at my most vulnerable. Because that's just a way out. He could have said, go out and milk the goats and I'll give it to you. But he went for something which he knew, boy, he's vulnerable now, I'm gonna attack. So it's just for us to be aware, because, you know, speaking for myself, you know, there's been situations where you go headlong into something, and before you're going headlong, you can hear the voice like telling you, don't do it, and you still do it, and then, you know, you regret afterwards. But there's always that point that you pause and then you hold back, and if you hold back, you'll be fine because God has you. But it's just to be aware that all the different temptations and things that come upon us, always wait for that little breaking point where the Holy Spirit is holding you back at that stage. And I think that was the question when Jacob asked for his birthright. That was the Holy Spirit kind of indicating to him, look, you're at your most vulnerable now. Mm. Look at what you're being asked. For him to hold back and say, whoa, my birthright? No, I'm stronger than that. So, yeah, just wanted to that point.
That's a really good point, making sure that we're aware that, you know, at our most vulnerable moments, that's when we're the weakest and more prone to attack, and we should be more on guard, definitely, to keep focused. Elder Howard.
I'll bring a little example. When I was much younger, I've just left training school. We decided to walk to the Blue Mountain. From where we are walking 43 miles, yes? All night. And when you reach certain point, it's like you get so tired, you want to just lay down in the road and sleep. And people do it. It's a road, it's a track that people use up to the Blue Mountain, which is about 2,700 feet above sea level. So it's really high. But the first time I started work, I said, no, I can't manage this. No, but remember, I just came out of training school and I'm a fully trained military person, but I just could not see myself doing 43 miles of walk. But you know what, there's a brother there and he keeps saying, just one more step. Just let's make one more step. He wouldn't allow us to sit down. And you know, we walk all night. Till we get to a point where we do not, you just keep going. You don't even feel tired anymore. The tiredness is like it went somewhere else. And I believe that when we as Christians are faced with challenges, what we need to do is just saying, listen, I know this is how I feel, but I'm going to have to trust beyond this. I don't know what the outcome will be, but whatever the outcome is, let's give it to God. It's harder to say, it's easier to say than harder to do. But once we practice and start doing this, we'll realize that God gives us the victory to overcome. That walk, I've done it over 40 odd times. And I've done the very same thing with people. Just walk one more step, one more. But the first time I tried it, was like, oh boy, I'm so tired. And then I had a backpack on my bag with all my food, all my clothes, everything we're going to use because it's a camping out on top of a mountain. And for me, it was a nightmare just trying to get halfway. But as the person encourages us, and we kept going. After a while, nobody talking about the tired. Everybody you just hear the footstep, one step behind each other. You could listen to everybody's footstep actually hitting the ground after a while. And that was what kept us going. It's the same thing with our Christian life. We have to realize that the devil is not going to come when you're happy, when things are great, you know. You know when he's going to come at us? When he sees that, when he attacked Jesus. He didn't attack Jesus when Jesus was already. He attacked him after 40 days of not eating. And he said, yes, now you're weak, I'm going to tempt you. He wouldn't do that to Jesus the first 2 days because, you know, he'd get pushed over the hill. But 40 days was long enough. He was very hungry, so here's where I'm going to take him out. But because Jesus was doing what I said, just bearing beyond the point, Jesus was able to say, get thee and Satan. Bread alone is not the survival. But again, it's a practice. Jesus connected with God all the way through that. We have to become realizing that if I lose my job tomorrow because I am standing up for Christ, I've not lost anything. But it's the hardest thing to say because you have to look at feeding your family. Let's look at the reality. Feeding your family, paying the bills, living somewhere. Those three are reality enough to ask you, do you want to do this? Do you really want to stick up and say, I'm not going to do that and lose your job? So these are the ones that the devil is going to throw at you. Then he says, okay, are you sure the rest of the family is going to be okay with what you're doing? So I might be okay with it, but I'm in a family. You see where I'm coming from? And that is what we need to look at. In every temptation, there's a way out. But is it, are we doing what Janet said, focusing on God beyond that generation? And if we don't, we're going to lose.
You're mute, Latifa. And Dawn has her hand up.
Thank you. Rookie mistake. I was saying thank you, Ada Howard. Sister Dawn?
Yeah, I'll just come back to what Howard was saying about Jacob being a Jinnah as well. Because two wrongs don't make a right. Jacob, it was like the Satan tempted Jacob to tempt his brother. Because what Jacob done was wrong. He should have just given him the food because he knew he was hungry. But no, he wanted his birthright. So he tempted him with the food to get the birthright. That isn't right. But I think where the difference is where Esau did not repent, where Jacob did. And I don't know where it is in the scriptures, but Jacob did go to the Lord and repent. And I think it was just before they were supposed to meet again, after a long while, and they were supposed to meet again, but they just ran to each other and hugged and kissed. But I think Jacob did repent of doing that, whereas Esau didn't. And that's what the difference was. Because it says here in Hebrews that for he knew how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So I think it comes back to what Elder Howell was saying. Jacob was just as Jinnah. Jacob should have just given him the food and done the argument. He knew his brother was hungry, but yet he done it in a way so that he could con him out of his birthright. So I think the two of them are as bad as each other, basically, in that respect. You know what I mean? Because what Jacob done is just as bad, mm-hmm. in a way, as what Esau done. But nobody really makes any comment about Jacob. Everybody looks at Esau. Do you know what I mean? So, and I think the devil tempted both of them and got the better of both of them. You know, that Jacob, the devil tempted Jacob to do what he did, and also tempted Esau to just blind him with the food and being hungry and say, oh yeah, well, I really mean it, but I'll just say it just to get the food. You know what I mean? So there's two kind of situations going on, mm-hmm. here. But I think when I check it out, both of them could be as bad as each other, arguably. I think you could argue that case. Mm.
Thank you.
I don't know if anybody agrees with me, but I think you could argue that.
Thank you, sister. No, it's a very good point. Very good point. Auntie Lorraine said in the chat that Jacob definitely coveted. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And it's true, we do place a lot of the more of the blame on Esau. But I just wanted today just look at the fact of, you know, the fact that Esau so easily gave his birthright away for the, you know, instant yeah. need, instant gratification.
Sharon has her hand up.
Okay, Sister Sharon.
I think what Esau did is a lesson for us, mm-hmm. because we can easily lose our way to heaven. And he knew the value of his birthright, right? Yes, but he let someone trick him out of it. And yeah. so we should guard avenues of our mind and don't let anyone fool us so that we lose our way to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Thank you so much. That was a lovely summary. Thank you so much, Auntie Sharon. Okay, so moving on, just before we wrap up. So... yes, you know, we might be going through situations that, you know, cause us to genuinely cloud our vision. It's all part of our human experience. It's all part of our humanity. But we, as Auntie Sharon said, we can't lose focus of our heavenly goal. And I just want to encourage anyone today who's really going through to feel your feelings, okay? You know, it's... the fact that Esau was weary, that Esau was hungry, that's not a bad thing. That's him being human. Acknowledge how you feel. Feel your feelings. Talk to God about it. Just a quick side note that in my devotions this week, I've been looking at Elijah, the story of when he was depressed in the cave, when Jezebel wanted to kill him. And, you know, he said, God, kill me. And God was like, eat. Here's some food. Why are you here? That story in 1 Kings. Yeah. So... a really profound part that stands out is just the fact that he was so open with God to tell him that, you know, he wants to die, that it's too much for him. And I think it's very important to feel that, acknowledge how you feel. You can't ignore that. You know, you are human. Life does happen. You know, it does happen, and it is difficult. We're not saying that. But at the same time, you know, our weariness, our situations on earth that weigh us down are only a small part of the grand scheme of eternity. And we do need to remember that sometimes to keep that in focus. But bringing it back to today's study, I just want to just reiterate, let's keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is our relationship with God at all times. I also want to just encourage you with some scripture as well. How do we keep the main thing the main thing? How do we keep our focus on God when our situations are so bleak? How do we not lose focus? How do we not sell our birthrights? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. well-known text, one that I absolutely love. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, and it says simply, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Just a reminder, just to encourage us that where we lack, God has it all. He is faithful. God wants us to make it to heaven more than we do, let's be honest. So he is faithful. He will do what he needs to do. We just need to trust that and just lean on him. Secondly, let's look at Romans 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And it says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." So I'm talking to myself here, as I'm talking to everyone here today, that sometimes we don't put enough value and credit in the scriptures. You know, there is power in the word of God. Mm. And sometimes just when we read scripture and just say it over our lives and pray it over our lives, that in itself is sometimes where the transformation takes place. And so just a reminder, as the text is encouraging us to read scripture, like, and I'm talking to myself, read scripture in our dark times and our dark days. Let's read scripture. Let's cover ourselves with scripture, because God's word never turns back void. And finally, for now, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. This text is for the people out there who are putting in work, who are doing the things that God has told them to do. They are doing above and beyond, and they do not see the fruit of their actions. You do not see the fruit. You don't see the point. You're tired of continuing and doing your best and not seeing any results. This one's for you, well-known one. And it says, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." If we do not lose heart, if we don't give up, we will see the fruit of our good deeds and of our good work and of our obedience. And to be honest with you, if you do not see, sometimes we don't discuss this, but if you do not see the fruit on this side of the earth, you will see it in the one to come. So I just want to encourage you all, do not lose heart. Easier said than done, but do not lose heart. Let's keep going. As Howard said in his example of the trek up the mountain, let's just take that one extra step. Where we couldn't take one extra step, my prayer, my aim, my goal today was to encourage you all, let's all take that extra step.
Which was the Romans chapter
15.
Which one did you say?
Romans chapter 15, verse 4.
That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so this hasn't been a long session today. I'm wrapping up. I hope the point was made. That trying to persevere in this walk and just in this life in general is extremely difficult. It's a daily struggle. And we have to push past feelings of giving up. We have to push past feelings of not wanting to continue and just not making it through, just feelings of weariness in general. But we need to remember and place it as our focus, as our goal, that our birthright will one day come to pass. One day we'll receive that blessing of our birthright, of our heavenly home, where we won't have to struggle anymore. We won't have to deal with daily conflicts. We won't have to deal with work. Amen. We won't have to deal with work. We won't have to deal with being tired and just being stressed and being depressed and not, you know, going without. We won't have to deal with any of that stuff, you know, one day soon. And we just have to hold hold tight, hold fast, hold it in our hearts, and keep that the main thing, keep that our focus, so that when the circumstances of our lives want to cloud our vision and want us to sell that birthright and not make the main thing, that won't be a factor, because we will have our vision before us. And just, oh, something I forgot to mention, sorry, really quickly. Oh, Elder Howard.
I know where we keep saying it's human, easier said than done, but I heard a speaker the other day, and he says one of our biggest things is that we knock ourselves back by using these cliches, so to speak, of it's easier said than done, and the devil says, okay, well, I'm going to always, when you don't make it, I'm going to give you that as a memory. So I am just, it just dawned on me that I should maybe share that we should try our best to, don't say it's easier said than done. Don't say, oh, we're human. Because once you do that, you're removing the power of the Holy Spirit, taking control of your mind and yourself to say, I can do this through Christ. Because you say, I'm human. So I don't expect to reach that level. But with Christ, we are more than human. Sorry.
So that's true. I agree with you. I agree with you. I never usually like to hear when people say, oh, we're only human. And, you know, I agree with you, Howard. We should cut that out of our Christian life. Because God gives us the strength to do anything.
I definitely see the argument there. I do think there's a balance that needs to be struck, because, you know, I think it's very okay to acknowledge our human experiences, as was the example that Jesus made. But I definitely see the argument that you're making, that definitely sometimes we do hold ourselves back by, you know, automatically when we say that, our mind goes to we can't do it. So I do get that point too. But I do think there's a balance that needs to be struck. Okay. Anyone else? No? Alrighty. Finally, I just want to leave you all with this text, that very well-known text, one that Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, that is of great encouragement to me, and I pray it is to you as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, and it says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And I think that's just the perfect summary. I just want to leave us all today with a song. And I just pray that we'll meditate on the words of the song, that it will encourage you, that it will inspire you, and that in your own personal devotion and prayer time, that you can just dwell on the words of this song and of this entire study that we've had, worship service that we've had today. So, Auntie Donna.
Sister Elizabeth is waving her hand.
Oh, sorry. Who is? Sorry, I missed that. Who would like to speak?
It's all right. Go on. It's
okay. No, that, you sure? That's we're just about to play a song, so it's okay.
Yeah, no, I was just adding that we are human. That is why Jesus came to show us how to do it. So we should not keep on dwelling on we are only human. If Jesus didn't know we were only human, he wouldn't have come to show us how to do it. Because he came in human form to show us, yes, it can be done. So we need remember that we, in our human form, Jesus came and did it, so we can also do it. Like Sharon says and Brother Howard says, I don't like that business people keep on saying, I'm only human. Yes, we are all human. That's why Jesus came. Show us. That's all, darling. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Elizabeth. Thank you. Okay, so I don't think saying I'm only human and acknowledging our human experiences are exactly the same thing. You know, even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wanted the cup to be removed from him, and he was very vocal about that. But the key was that he said, let your will be done. So I think it's very, very okay, and something that I strongly encourage, that we acknowledge how we feel, acknowledge how things are affecting us, but know at the same time that God's will needs to be done, and that God will, you know, come through for us, et cetera, et cetera. Wonderful. So thank you so much, everyone. If you can play the song, Auntie Donna, be much appreciated.
I have decided, determined, I'm committed, that I'll run, no matter the cost. And I have decided, determined, I'm committed, that I'll run, even though at times I may get lost. I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to take my proper place in the winning circle. I'm going to run anyway. I don't know where or when or how, but I know that I'm going to make it. Nestled safely in amazing grace, I made up my mind, and I don't have much time, but I'll run till I finish. I'm going to run this race. I'm going to take my proper place in the winning circle. So safely in amazing grace, I made up my mind, I don't have much time, so I'll run till I finish. Oh, I made up my mind, I don't have much time, but I'm gonna run, I'm gonna run, I'm gonna run till I finish. Yeah, have much time, but I'll run till I finish.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, and thank you, everyone.
Amen. Thank you so much, Natika, for leading out in that discussion tonight. And we have put all of the passages of scripture in the chat. So anyone that didn't manage to take a note or wanted to jot any of those scriptures down, they are in the chat for you. Just for those that may have, you know, dropped out, I see a few faces have joined us late. You know, we have Galatians 6 and verse 9, encouraging us that let us not become weary in doing good things, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I like that one. I feel like that was a reminder that God was given directly to me. But Romans 8, there's so many gems that came out in that, and I think it's good that we are reminding ourselves of these things on a daily basis, and giving us encouragement in this difficult time. So I want to thank Natika for sharing with us and that beautiful song as well. And I just want to close off this evening with two prayers. I'm going to ask if Elder Kelly can pray one of those prayers for us, and then Latifa, if you are okay, to pray a special prayer over us and all that are present in this Zoom meeting. I'm going to ask as well that in your prayers, you remember, remember in our prayers, the Rigg family, Vanessa and Sharon Rigg, who have lost their mother passed this morning, and also the St. Luce family, Auntie Jen, Karima, Simeon, and all of the rest of the extended family who are grieving from the loss of their mum and their grandmother that passed away last night. So please include them in your prayers as well.
Let us pray. Mighty God and Father, we want to thank you for your blessings. We want to thank you for your grace and your mercy. We want to thank you, Lord, even for sometimes when we can't understand why things happen. Because maybe if we could understand everything, we'd just take them for granted. But because we can't, we have to come to you. We have to ask you. We have to seek your knowledge. We have to seek your understanding. And even when we do, you do not choose to release and relay everything to us right at the forefront, because we'd get too edgy and feel that we know so much. So we trust you tonight, Lord. We come before you humbly, Lord, to say to you, Lord, we believe that we can't make it on our own. We acknowledge that. We acknowledge that our feelings override us and overtake us most of the time. And so, Lord, we ask that you'll come divinely close. We ask that you'll correct that balance. We ask, Lord, that you'll allow us to read and live and pray scriptures upon our life, because we read the Bible, but we don't use it to pray scriptures upon our life. We don't use it to present our life to a normal day. We feel like, oh, we can just say what we have to say. But Lord, I find in recent times that the more you pray scriptures and you use the word of God, you beat back the forces. Sometimes when the forces is coming, it's just that word that jumped back into your mind from somewhere, and you're able to say the word of God in your mind, and it helps you to steady and to calm yourself. Even under the pressures of work, sometimes when you really get lose it and decide to just tell the boss off and walk away, the scripture come back that as a child of God, you have to be the leader, you have to be humble. The scripture come back to say, a soft answer, turn it away, wrath. And you remember that you can't say what is in your mind to your boss. You have to ask God to, you have to confess it to God and then ask him to fix it so you can say it nicely. And Lord, I'm thanking you for that victory that you're giving me day to day. It's not yet there, but I'm getting it. And I know many others are getting it, Lord. So Lord, tonight we want to pray over everyone that is here. We want to pray for the St. Louis Mackenzie's family and all of that family. We know their mom died last night. And we want to talk about the Riggs family as well. Their mom died this morning or sometime earlier this morning. And we just want to ask you, Lord, that you will go in and be the comforter. There's no words we can say. What can you say to someone who have lost someone they've loved for years, someone that has been the pillar of their life, you know, someone that they have been born to see? There's very little you can say, but the Holy Spirit can comfort. So we ask, Lord, that you'll allow us to sometime just be a listening ears. Just let them know we are available. We are here if they need anything. Just not the words, but just say we are here and be prepared to assist where we can. Lord, help us to be merciful in terms of our thinking of ourselves, that we don't put ourselves down too much and say we're not going to make it because we can't get over this. It is not our power to overcome. It is yours, and we have to get it from you. Lord, I want to thank you for Latifa's presentation this evening. And, you know, what's the point if we're just doing these and not learning from them? If we're just doing these and not making a change, again, the question is asked, what's the point? So Lord, tonight I pray that all of us who are listening here will make a change that where we need to make a change, and we'll make that change to better and also be an encourager where we need to be an encourager. Be a prayer warrior where we need to be a prayer warrior. Be a supported hand where we need to be a supported hand. Be a listening ear where we need to be a listening ear. Tonight is your Sabbath, Lord, and we need to realize that also that this is a rest night, not a night for us to get up and be doing all sorts of planning and programs and all of that, because it takes away from the rest. Is it that we shouldn't do programs? Yes, Lord, but we sometimes put too much into our thinking process and how we plan it, we need to be a bit simple and straightforward. Just your words lead out. So I just thank you for this, Lord. I present all the people here, and I present their extension of families. I present them, Lord, with whatever the difficulties they are going through, whether it's a COVID or whether it's just a normal difficulty that was there before COVID, only exacerbated by COVID being around, where you can't go out, you can't feel, you feel cut off from the rest of the world. You feel friendless, you feel lonely because you can't go anywhere. The law says so. But Lord, we are there to realize that we have you to depend on. And when we can't go anywhere, let's sing. Even me who cannot sing, hum a song in my heart so you can hear me. Because Lord, sometimes we can't say the word. It's just a, that is the word. And you know what it means. So we just want to thank you for your greatness, your mercy. We want to adore your name, lift up your name and magnify you, Lord. Because when even the pains and we can't even say a word but groan, you can interpret what our heart is saying. You can interpret what is in our mind and be able to fix it for us. So we thank you, Lord. We pray tonight that you cover all of us, that you keep away the cold hands of death from us, you keep away illnesses and you keep away accident. Lord, our church has undergone so much since the COVID period to now, that we just want to ask you, Lord, to be merciful and give us a break, a little extended break, that we will not lose anyone in the near future right now, Lord. And whatever we are doing, we'll be preparing to go to your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you once again for another opportunity to come together and spend just a short time in your word and in prayer and in fellowship. I pray, Lord, that you will forgive us of the many sins that we have committed against you, be it thought, word, or deed, Lord. May you continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thank you for the word that you've given us today. I pray that you will help us, empower us, and encourage us to keep the main thing, and that is you. I pray that we will keep our heavenly home, the focus, our eternal life, the focus and our actions and our decisions and choices will reflect that. Lord, I pray that we will make you a priority, we'll make room for you in our lives, that we will spend time to study and pray and just have a genuine relationship with you. And I pray that you will help us not to sell our birthright, that you will help us not to place value to temporary earthly things that are not important, not to place maximum value on those things, but to place the value on you and the mission and purpose that you've given to us. Lord, I thank you for every person that's joined this Zoom call today. May you bless them abundantly and all their households that are represented, as well as the rest of our church family and extended church family. Pray you will bless us and protect us all. We thank you. We love you. Thank you for being an amazing, loving God. And I pray that you will keep us, and as we, you know, enjoy the Sabbath and rest, may we truly worship and reflect on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.